This week in Retronauts, it's Tinny Toon Adventures. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retronauts. I am Jeremy Parrish, and the music in this episode is not actually tinny. It's pretty good. But yes, this is another episode of Retronauts Radio, and as always with these things, Retronauts Radio is a patron-exclusive venture released in a higher audio quality format than normal episodes, including stereo and a higher bitrate encoding, so that you can enjoy these jams the way they were intended to be listened to. Well, more or less. Most of the stuff was released on vinyl, and you're listening to it on an audio download from the internet, which is not the same thing, but I'm trying to get the spirit across. You can even hear the pops and snaps sometimes as I've digitized this material, and it's not always perfect. But that's the magic of analog tech. If you're like me, you're old enough to remember when radio stations actually played music from vinyl LPs. Listening to music in the car at night, hearing the pops and snaps and static of vinyl over the air. Those days are long past, but that's what Retronauts Radio is for, to take you back to a world where music was jankier. So continuing on from last time, I have the remainder of Konami Antiques Family Computer, the 13-volume series that came out at the end of 2024. I have finally managed to finish ripping all 13 volumes, and we're continuing on from where we left off last time, volume 6, with volumes 7 through 13. I feel like volumes 1 through 6, and really 1 through 8 or so, have pretty strong senses of creative direction, a consistency in their musical outlook. They tie things together that make sense. Games that are either connected as a series or just thematically. But the further we get into this series, the more it kind of seems like Konami was struggling a little bit to find material to put on here. Or at least to figure out how to organize it. The Family Computer Antiques series is, of course, a collection of Konami NES compositions. But as we get further into the series, we find that most of the games whose soundtracks are represented here did not actually come out in America and won't be that familiar directly to Americans unless they were really into importing. And I think that's not a case of Konami hating Americans or something like that. It's more a function of the fact that Konami's 8-bit releases were pretty distinct between regions back in the day. In Japan, they tended to focus a lot on original creations, whereas in the US, Konami relied pretty heavily on licensed material. Whether under the Konami label or as Ultra Games, a lot of what they released in the US for NES was either based on popular media franchises like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Zen the Intergalactic Ninja, or else it was based on Western properties like Carmen Sandiego and Defender of the Crown. A lot of those games did not come to Famicom in Japan, and the licensed games that did come out there, such as The Goonies 2, were tied to external properties, and I assume that Konami just didn't feel like going through the licensing rigmarole to get the rights to those games and the soundtracks. things get a little random and haphazard from here on out, which is not necessarily to say bad, just there's some strange combinations of music. Remember that Konami made more than 100 Famicom and NES games, so they had a lot to pick from, even when you take away stuff like Western licensed titles, American computer games, or even Metal Gear. So some of the combos are clearly just made because of the runtime of vinyl. You have about 20 to 22 minutes of music per side of a disc, and not all of these games fill up that much space. So it was a question of figuring out, like, which games can we put together without compromising the audio quality and still maximize the value for these discs, which, you know, consumers should be grateful for, but it does make for some strange listening. We can see that at work right here with Volume 7. Volume 7 mostly consists of the soundtrack to Castlevania 3. And I will say this is the best that Castlevania 3 has ever sounded in any music reissue. They finally got rid of all the sound effects and segues and stuff that they tended to inflict on Castlevania 3 soundtracks in the olden days of CDs. So it's just the music taken straight from the hardware, running on the famous Famicom VRC6 audio chip that allowed for additional sound channels. It's much richer than the NES soundtrack. I think there were some tracks that worked better on NES, but, you know, there's definitely more of a sense of polyphony and, like, mad classical music Bach overtures playing behind you as you invade Dracula's castle. So that's good. But for some reason, Castlevania 3 is paired with Quarth, aka Block Hole, a puzzle game that kind of wants to be a shooter. These games have nothing to do with each other. Intense gothic vampire horror, lightweight, breezy, fun, sci-fi puzzle gaming. But fortunately, Quarth is kind of at the end of everything, so you can listen to Castlevania 3, and if you're not in the mood for listening to Quarth's soundtrack, you can just lift the needle. That's the magic of vinyl. We'll be right back. This has been a preview of a patron-exclusive Retronauts episode. If you enjoy what you've heard so far, the great news is that you can hear the rest of this episode by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing to the show at the $5 a month or higher levels. Not only will you be able to hear this full episode, but you'll have instant access to hundreds of other podcasts, mini columns, and more. It's the best deal in internet entertainment. Patreon.com/retronauts. Thanks for your support.